Want to have a desperately needed taste of springtime in your home? Sure, you could just go buy some cut flowers, but that's way too easy. Imagine instead the magic of bringing in a dead-looking bulb or a branch and watching it transform into something beautiful over the course of days or weeks. Forcing is a hugely popular hobby, but for professional gardeners preparing for the Philadelphia Flower Show, it's an exact science. Carolyn Beeler looked into how horticulturalists get their plants to think it's springtime in February.
When the Philadelphia Flower Show starts at the end of the month, millions of individual blooms will need to flower on the same day. Right now, local growers are in a frenzy of forcing, as in forcing a flower to bloom to prepare for that big day.
It's been described as the world's most elaborate horse race run backwards.
That's Lloyd Traven, owner of Peace Tree Farm in Kintnersville, Pennsylvania. He forces for the show organizer, the Pennsylvania Horticulture Society, and dozens of exhibitors.
We are literally tricking Mother Nature into making a plant bloom on the exact date that we want it to bloom.
That trickery starts in late summer when Traven and exhibitors who do their own forcing start to chill plants they've bought for the flower show in huge coolers.
Most temper plants have a dormancy period where they have to go to sleep for the winter to survive.
That's Temple Horticulture Professor Sasha Eisenman. He says beyond protecting the plant, cooling is also necessary for many species native to cold climates to bloom later in their life cycle.
They have chilling requirements. They need a certain number of hours of being cold to then be able to grow again in the spring and flower.
After up to 12 weeks outside or in a cooler, Eisenman's colleague, Catherine Reber, who runs Temple's flower show forcing, starts moving their plants into a warm greenhouse on the school's Ambler campus.
So we usually start bringing in our earliest plants middle of December, late December.
By this time each year, Reber is making daily rounds, comparing plants to database information from years past.
Even this morning, I was checking photos from last year to see where our wisteria were last year in relation to now, and I know that I need to push them along a little bit more.
That means more heat and maybe more light. Many temperate plants require different day lengths to bloom, so their time under artificial lights must be tailored. Eisenman explains photoreceptors in plant tissue are sensitive to changes in sunlight.
They have special protein-based compounds that are called phytochromes, and they basically change form depending on the light that they're exposed to. So as the period of time changes for light and dark, the switch goes back or forth.
That switching or changing of forms during day and night establishes the plant's equivalent of a circadian rhythm, and it sets the stage for blooming. Reber and Eisenman take me into their main greenhouse, held around 65 degrees, where two-thirds of the plants are destined for the flower show. In one corner, there's a plastic tent enclosing three trees that don't have very many leaves yet.
This is a greenhouse inside of a greenhouse, basically, and it's a warmer environment.
In addition to the heat mats on the floor, we've had a little heater that we've rolled in there to just kick the temperatures up even higher to get them to move along.
Outside and down a path, a different type of greenhouse.
So this is the hoop house.
Okay. It's kept 15 to 20 degrees colder than the other one for plants that are closer to blooming. Reber shows me an eastern redbud tree with tiny, tender white buds just starting to push through.
So these we moved down last week. They were just starting to push their individual flower buds. And since I wanted them to hold for the show, we moved them down here where it's cooler. And I think they'll be right about on target. I might have to slow them down just a little bit, but I think they'll be right on target.
Reber is less optimistic about her daffodils, which she's moved to an unheated breezeway because they're already in full bloom. They're not likely to make it to the show alive. Heat and light are generally manipulated to get flowers, trees, and shrubs to bloom or leaf out in time for the flower show. But there are other variables to control, like color. Back in the warm greenhouse, Reber points out a table of bromeliads, yellow-green plants that look like giant pineapple tops. They're under 600-watt bulbs, 14 hours a day, to make them turn orange for the show.
That's the color that they get when they're outside in the summer, when they're really just roasting out in the gardens.
This color change is a sign of a plant beefing up its defenses against UV damage.
We put on sunscreen. Plants put on sunscreen. They just create it themselves. So they have actual chemicals that they can produce, which protect them from the same problems that we experience when we get too much sun exposure.
Manipulating Mother Nature is not without its catastrophes. When the power went out in Ambler during a storm last winter, Reber had to move her plants onto a school bus to keep them from freezing.
We sat on the school bus running 24 hours a day for at least a day and a half, and it kept everything warm. And, you know, we had a few issues, but we made it through.
So far, it's been smoother sailing for Reber this year. If she does her job well, the home gardeners who visit the flower show will walk away with ideas of what to plant this spring, when Mother Nature will supply the heat and light to make them bloom. For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.